Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
This year marks a rather grim centenary. 100 years ago, a Limerick woman named Anne Walsh was executed, the last woman to be put to death in this country. Patrick McGarty is a lecturer at Munster Technological University. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Sean, to you and your listeners.
This is a kind of an interesting story, for many aspects. One being that it's not clear who the culprit was and all that kind of thing. But so I suppose first start with who was the person who was murdered?
The person murdered was Annie Walsh's husband, Edward, or Ned Walsh, as he was known as. He was murdered. He was found dead in front of his fireplace at their cottage in Fedimore, just in rural South Limerick.
Yeah, and now there was a big age gap, as I understand it, between him and Annie, and it wasn't a happy marriage. That seemed to be generally accepted.
That's correct. There's 30 years between them. They had married in 1916, about 9 years before the killing, and it wasn't a happy marriage at all. Mm. Ned was a widower. He married Annie, and essentially it wasn't a happy marriage, and that was it. And
she's the one who reported his death.
She did. She reported the death early on the morning of the 25th of October. Very early, she arrived at Fedimore at the Civic Guard Barracks, as it would have been known at the time in the early Irish Free State. And she reported that her husband was dead, and the two guards on duty cycled out to the house, found Ned dead in front of the fire. And again, she had a story basically that another man who was Michael Talbot, who would have been 22 years of age, he was a nephew of Ned's. She said that he came in and the night before, and that he shot Ned dead, and that was it, and stayed in the house, and she was afraid to go out. And when he left early that following morning, she alleged that she left then and reported the gruesome killing to the local guards.
But there was a massive hole in her story, pardon the pun.
There was, yeah, there was a big hole in the story. Again, when there was an autopsy took place, and obviously the crime scene was examined as well, and there was no trace of gunshot residue or anything. The local coroner, he basically found two gaping holes in the back of Ned's head. They certainly weren't bullet wounds. And basically what happened then was that the guards arrested Michael Talbot, and then there was a number of conflicting interpretations of what happened between Michael Talbot and Annie Walsh. Now, Michael, it was rumoured that he was in a relationship with Annie. He was, as I say, the 22-year-old nephew of Ned. And basically, he claimed really that Annie had asked him to come over to the house, and that they would kill Ned because she had an insurance policy on Ned, and that was it. So he would have claimed otherwise. As far as he was concerned, he was an accessory. There's no doubt about that, and he would have admitted that himself. But his story was that they were sitting at the fire, basically, and and he took out a hatchet and that she had hidden under her shawl, and that she killed him, and that he held down when Ned fell on the floor. He held down his body while she finished killing him, and that was it. Oh. And I think that's what that resulted in his guilt, or implied guilt as well, in many respects.
Yeah,
so, but she had a different story.
Yeah, what was her story?
Well, her story was essentially that he came in, he shot Ned, and that was it. Now, what happened was, I suppose, where the whole starts to appear, really, one was crime scene evidence. Well, there wasn't obviously DNA in that at the time, but again, neighbours, they lived in a small cottage in Fettermore, and there was a number of small cottages nearby, and nobody had heard gunshot wounds or gunshots, I should say. And again, the inquest would indicate that there was no gunshot wounds in the body at all, you know, so it was a leaning towards, the truth was probably more on Michael Talbot's side than Annie Walsh's side.
Yeah. And so the two of them went on trial. Were they tried together, or was it two separate trials?
Two separate trials, but again, right, one day, one the other. There were two separate trials in Dublin. There was a number of local hearings in Ballineety nearby, and then in Dublin they were remanded in custody, and they were tried in the Central Criminal Court in Green Street in Dublin. The following July, on July the 9th, Talbot's trial opened. The following day, Annie Walsh's trial opened.
Yeah. And how long did the trials take?
Not like today. They were very quick. Both trials were completed over one day, basically, and both of them were found guilty of the murder of Ned Walsh, and both were sentenced to death.
Yeah.
It took the jury only 10 minutes to reach their verdict on Michael Talbot, and it took the following day, it took 35 minutes to reach their guilty verdict on Annie.
Yeah. And at the time, was there, I mean, I suppose maybe the jury taking slightly longer to come to Annie's verdict, was there any sort of leeriness about the death penalty for women in those days?
Oh, certainly, Sean, there was, yeah, because, again, the jury in Annie's case made a recommendation for mercy. And it was very unusual that a woman would be hanged like that. That the last time there was a hanging of a woman in Ireland was over 20 years earlier in Tullamore. So, it was very, very unusual to have a woman condemned, obviously not condemned to death, but actually hung. But in Annie's case, Minister of Justice Kevin O'Higgins, he made an exception, and she actually wrote to him personally. There was a lot of pressure put on Kevin O'Higgins, but she was refused a reprieve.
She was refused a reprieve. Did he give any reason for that?
No reason was given at all. It was interesting, really, when you look at it. 3 years before that, there was a woman, Hannah Flynn. Hannah Flynn killed her former employer, another lady, an O'Sullivan lady in Killorglin. And again, it was very, very gruesome. But she got pardoned. And, you know, over the years, most women got pardoned. There was only two women out of 40 executions in the 20th century across Ireland. Only two involved the hanging or the killing of a woman. And that was it. That, you know, the execution of a woman. So there was only two. But most women got the reprieve from the death penalty.
Yeah. And, of course, in those days, one of the peer points would come over from the UK to carry out the sentence.
That's right. Thomas Pierpont, he was the executor. He travelled, lived in Yorkshire. He travelled over to perform the hangings. He performed two hangings on Michael Talbot. Michael Talbot was hung first at 8 o'clock on the 5th of August 1925, and 45 minutes later, Annie Walsh was hanged. She was the last woman, obviously, hanged in Ireland. And Thomas Pierpont received £15 for both executions.
£15. Patrick, thanks for telling us that story. That was Dr. Patrick McGarty there, Senior Lecturer in Public Policy at Munster Technological University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.